You're listening to Brazen Bookworm's Unrighteous Reading Rebellion, a reformed book snob's journey and musings through all things romance. Some language may not be safe for all ears. Frequent use of sarcasm may occur.
Hey! Uh-oh, hold on. Are we muted? Okay, wait. Let's try again. Can y'all hear us?
Yes.
Yay! All right, that's a plus.
Oh, now I can hear. All right, perfect.
Sweet.
Okay, I'm just trying to adjust all the things. Ooh, what do you got?
Freak yogurt popsicle.
Ooh. Okay.
I was craving something sweet really bad.
I get that. I understand. Are you back? Are you still in New York or are you back home?
Oh, I'm back home.
Okay.
Yeah, I came back yesterday. And I'll be honest with you, I've been sick as a dog. So if I sound terrible, I'm so sorry.
That's okay. Thank you for being here with us.
Yeah, of course.
Wow. So welcome back from New York. And welcome to the madness, to the chaos, to the little bit of out of control in our crazy. But thank you guys both for coming on. This was something that we've been trying to put in the works for a bit. And I'm really excited. So we're going to do, this is normally when I do the podcast, it's all audio. And what we decided with this, talking with Catherine and Julie and I chatting together, we're like, wait a minute, Julie and I are going to be in the same space and we have a fucking cover model. So I'm like, we got to do video. And sorry, I have no filter and the podcast.
I don't have one either.
Not safe for work. So we're going to, the recording, the video is going to go on Facebook and then the podcast will just be audio, but it'll have a link to the recording on Facebook and the website and all the fun stuff. So So thank you for being here. I have to tell you because we're not in Maryland. Do I have to tell him that it's being recorded? I'm going to tell you that this is being recorded.
I'm used to being recorded all the time.
There we go. Perfect.
I wear one of these things at work, you know, a little funny camera is always recording.
I get that.
At least here I can be a little more candid than what I am at work. So
we're up for that. We're definitely up for candid, and please don't feel like you have to filter or modify what you say, because I put the warning on there, and if people don't listen to it and they get offended, then that's their freaking problem, not mine.
Yeah, I have to have enough filter at work. I try not to have one in any other part of my life.
I get that too, because in the other part of my life, I have to have a very strong filter. And when I leave that space, the filter's like, see ya. So I'm Michelle. Sorry. So go ahead, Dan. Sorry.
I'm Dan. No, go
ahead. So I'm Michelle. This is Julie. Hello. And Catherine.
Hey. Hey. How are you doing?
Good. Hi, Dan.
Hey, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I've been better, but we're gonna get through this. We're gonna be good.
We're gonna get through this. And I want to respect your time and for both of you for coming on. So just do a quick intro, just so people know a little bit about who you are, what you do. And then we've got some questions we wanted to ask you. And if we go off script, people who listen to me often know that the brain squirrels are, they're in control.
And they run wild.
the brain squirrels run wild, but we will try. That's why Julie's here. She reins me in, and we will try to keep it all on track. But
I need a Julie in my life.
Seriously, we all need a Julie. So, Dan, go ahead and introduce yourself. Tell us a little bit about you.
I'm Dan. I'm a cover model and a cop by night, cover model by day. I'm 32, father of two little girls, and that's me in a nutshell.
Awesome. And Catherine?
I am Catherine L. Evans, and I identify as Klee, the notorious KLE, and I write books that make you cry.
Oh my gosh.
Yes you do.
I was on a train headed to DC and I had tears flowing down my face from your book. I took a picture and sent it to you. I'm like, what are you doing to me?
Yes, I always tell people when I recommend your books and I put reviews up, I'm like, this one has a tissue warning. And I elaborate whether it's like, you know, the little pocket size tissues that you can bring or to the Costco size box. So you are a Costco size box rated book of tissues.
And I'm telling you, whoever said like no tears for the writer, no tears, like, trust me, if you ever watched Romancing the Stone, that, you know, from the 80s, and she's like sobbing at her laptop, you know, that's me.
That's good though. I like that you get that far into your books that you create an emotional connection with it, because if you're not emotionally connected, then chances are your readers aren't going to be either.
Right. Yeah.
Okay, so questions, because I want to respect everybody's time. So Dan, tell us a little bit about how long have you been a cover model? How long have you been doing this?
I've been a cover model for just over 5 years now. I got started after a viral picture of me happened and a photographer reached out to me and was like, hey, do you want to do this? I was like, I mean, I don't think that I'm qualified, but sure, I'll give it a shot. And it kind of took a life of its own. I've been doing it on and off for 5 years now. You know, it's been a good time.
Are we allowed to ask which photographer?
Oh, yeah. Sorry. It was Christopher John. Sorry.
Okay. And I love him. Mm-hmm. In fact, yeah, we'll see fantastic. Him this weekend.
That's right. Is he at Shameless?
Yes, he'll be at Shameless. Yes. So we will be seeing him.
Yeah, it's right around the corner for him.
That's right. Yep. He's a Florida one also. Yeah, we're in Orlando this week for Shameless this weekend. And that's right. He's going to be one of the ones we get to see. Tell us. I didn't put this in question. What was the picture? Talk to us about the picture. How did that get you in the industry?
So there was this picture. It was, I was labeled, me and two other guys were labeled as the Hot Cops. And I'm like,
it was
a viral picture.
I remember.
It was nuts. It was after a hurricane. Like, it was millions and millions of views all over the world. We were on the news. Like,
I saw that photo.
Yeah, it was nuts. If you Google, I had a friend, he was looking at something the other day and he Googled sexy cops and that picture came up. I'm like, Jesus Christ, man, it's been over five years. It was September 2017, like, golly. And it's still out there, so.
Well, some things make an impact. And obviously it was a good impact for you if he reached out to you for that. Did you catch flack for it though?
Oh, of course. I mean, yeah. I work in a profession with a bunch of alpha people, you know, alpha males, alpha females. Of course, I get hell on a regular basis still.
They're just jealous.
Haters want to hate is kind of how I look at it. Don't hate me because you hate me is one of my favorite things to say to people I work with. They're like, listen, bro, just because all you could do is drive a patrol car and drive fast doesn't mean that some of us can't have other side hustles, so.
I like that you put it that way, that it's kind of a side hustle, which was interesting because when you introduced yourself, you said you're a cover model by day, but then a cop by night, right?
Yeah. I've worked night shift for 10 years.
Wow. That's okay. So I'm going to skip a little bit in what I had. So what are you doing when you're not in front of the camera? What else? Tell us a little bit about who you are, what you do when you're not taking pictures.
I mean, lately over the past few months, my life's really been, it's been work, working out, and being dad. That's really kind of what it boils down to for me. Lately I've been really committing a lot of time to my body and taking care of my body. I want to live forever. So I've been eating super clean, working out a lot. You know, I watch a lot of football. I spend a lot of time with my kids. We do all kinds of fun stuff together. We're getting ready to go on a trip to Washington, D.C. here coming up in December. So, you know, that's me. I'm just a regular guy, whatever I'm not being, you know, Model Dan, you know, just doing regular stuff.
Dad Dan.
Yeah. Dad Dan when you're not Model Dan. I like it.
Or Daddy Dan works too.
That's a totally different conversation.
I couldn't help but go there. I got no filter, I told you.
To go there, especially on this podcast. That is something that is not a I'm not going to be a problem.
It's interesting. In one of the groups I run, we were talking about how you have been working out, because I mean, obviously your body is looking mighty fine. And I was wondering, was there a reason? And so I told them, I'm like, I'll find out. And you gave me the answer.
So I don't know if you guys know this, but I used to be 340 pounds.
I did. I knew this.
I was a big, big, big man. So for me, number one, I'm going to live forever. There's a lot of police officers die. The average police officer's lifespan is 57. I was supposed to retire at 52. Therefore, I had only 5 years of enjoying my retirement. I want the city of Gainesville to pay me until I'm like 157, if I can make it possible. Mm-hmm. So that's a part of it. Part number two is I've never had a six pack. This is the first time in my life in 32 years that I felt comfortable taking pictures with my shirt off. I think up until recently, the only picture I have on my Instagram without a shirt on was a photo shoot I did with Golden. And I didn't look like I do now, I don't feel like. And that was 4 or 5 years ago. So it's me, it's really been lately, I've been trying to step out of my comfort zone and do more to make myself feel better about myself so I can do the things that I should be able to do. You know what I mean? Does that make sense?
Yes, it does.
I've really been pushing myself to step out of my comfort zone in all facets of life. So doing pictures with no shirt, like I just do it because I want to be that guy that people can look at and be like, if he can do it, I can do it. You know,
that's powerful.
That's the big thing for me. So I've just really been pushing hard because like, I want to be more than just a regular dude, more than just a cop, more than just a model. I want to be able to inspire people to be more than what they are. And if I can do it, anybody can do it. Because like I said, I used to be 340 pounds. I've worked my ass off, you know, to get to where I'm at and be comfortable posting pictures with no shirt on and whatnot.
You know, you have a goal. I love that. When you set a goal and you're like, I'm doing this for my health. I'm doing this for my kids. I'm doing this so other people can look at where I've come from and say, if he can do it, I can do it. Because I think a lot of people do. You know, we're in an industry where image is very, very important. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of push to conform to an image. And a lot of people are like, I can never do that because X, Y, Z. But when you see somebody who's done it, it's way different than just somebody who's been, you know, fit all their lives and has never had an issue. And you're like, well, they've never had a problem. So if I have a problem, how do I overcome that? So having someone you can watch to say, I've been there and I've done it and you can do it too. I love that inspirational element of it. And like you said, you're a dad, you're a full-time law enforcement, you're modeling, you're doing all these things. So you're busy. It's not like you just have all day long to spend at the gym and pay attention to what you're doing. You have a life.
I've spent all afternoon meal prepping, and it's Tuesday because my week was all messed up in New York. Like I've been meal prepping all afternoon, and it's you just find the time to do the things that you want to do or what's important to you. You know, I read most of my reading is like inspirational stuff and leadership stuff. And it's what's important now. And now this is what's important to me. And I will find ways to make it happen. I'll do whatever it takes. I skip out on sleep. I only sleep 4 or 5 hours a day. Probably not the best thing in the world, but I do what I got to do to make sure I reach the goals that I want to reach. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah. Sleep is overrated sometimes.
What inspirational
I'll sleep when
book.
I'm dead.
Great. Yeah. I've heard that. I've said that.
Yeah.
Which inspirational book do you feel has made the most impact? Maybe I need to read it.
Right. Ooh,
my favorite book right now. I did the audiobook, and I don't normally do audiobooks. Is David Goggins, Can't Hurt Me. If you ever watch anything with David Goggins, that man is a monster. He's like, you're going to have to kill me before I quit. Like, wow. That's what it boiled down to for him. He's like, I'm just going to go do it. And that's kind of where I'm at. I'm like, I'm going to go. And I won't quit until I die. I've been sick. I got on the treadmill for 30 minutes with a hoodie on and just going. I went and did legs this morning, even though I've been sick. I was like, I got to do it. It's to the point now where, like, if I don't, there's something, like, it messes me up in my head. So, mm-hmm. I really have to push myself. Like, I'm like, I got to go. Like, it is what it is. But David Goggins' audiobook, Can't Hurt Me, is great because he, his buddy who helps him write the book narrates it. And then in between each chapter, they talk about it. So it's almost like a podcast, and like they give a little more insight into the book. But it's a fantastic book.
Yeah, I'm definitely looking that one up because I'm always looking for other things. You know, there's always things that somebody will say, oh, it'll trigger something in my mind. I'm like, okay, let me find it. But again, it's always nice to know what's worked for someone else before you go and grab it. So you're like, okay, this was successful for someone. So maybe it'll be successful for me.
And then anything Eric Thomas does, I love listening to him too. He's fantastic.
Say that name again.
Eric Thomas. He's fantastic. Eric Thomas.
Okay.
I used to ride around in my patrol car and listen to him on YouTube every night, all night.
Okay. Yeah, I'm new to audiobooks, relatively new to audiobooks, not like self-help, but other audiobooks that I have to not listen to when my kids are in the car and make sure my windows are up at the traffic light, because otherwise I get some really interesting looks. Not that I care, I'll just offer them, you know, if you want to listen, this is what it's called. But yeah, I should look into some other audiobooks too. So how has being a cover model affected your life, like work life, personally? You said it's recent, it's 5 years. So how has that affected what you do?
I mean, really not a whole lot. I have to burn some time to go and do stuff. I mean, I have to, you know, take off of work sometimes to go to, like when I went to TNT, I had to take off like 2 nights to work to be able to go. So really, that's really about it. The fitness part I'd be doing regardless. So really it's just, you know, prioritizing and changing my time around. It's, you know, and you know, fitting modeling and stuff in where I wanted to. It's not like I get recognized walking around Walmart for being on the cover model. Sorry.
I don't understand that at all. I don't. So, they're not reading the right books.
Yeah, right. That's how I think about it. I'm like, how do you not know me? I've read so many books. You should recognize me, shouldn't you? No.
Question. But, how many book covers are you on?
I don't know the exact number.
Okay.
It's a lot though. It's quite a few. Went on like a rampage for like 2 or 3 years, just fucking churning out books. So it's been quite a few. I don't know the exact number though.
Do you have a favorite cover?
No, other than the first one. The first one was pretty awesome.
Okay. Always remember
the first
your first
one was
cover.
Cool because like the first one was, wait, what'd you say?
Is it, you always remember your first cover?
Yeah, exactly. It's like your first life. I'll never forget it. Like, I was like, wow. It was like 2 weeks after my first photo shoot that first cover came out. And I was like, holy shit. I was like, this is real. Like, I'm actually doing something like with this. Like, it's more than just, I'm on a book. Like, I have the book in my hand. I was like, this is freaking cool. So
I love that.
Do you display it on the shelf behind you?
You have to have a pride shelf. Yes.
Yeah.
We all need that, like that pride shelf. Is there a certain look that you like to work with better than others? A certain style, certain type, certain look?
I personally like shooting with somebody else. Is that what you mean? Like, I like doing couples.
Okay.
Just because for me, it's more of the energy in the room. Like, you can feed off of each other. Like, right. Especially if you really vibe with somebody. Like, there's one girl that I shot with with Jean. Her name is Emily. Like, me and her vibed. It was such a good time. We had a blast shooting together. And, like, we just really got along. And, like, there's chemistry there. Not like, in a weird, sexual, inappropriate way. Like, we just vibed. And, like, we did good together. And, you know, when you have stuff like that, like, that to me is when shooting's the most fun. When you're shooting by yourself, like I can do that. And I feel like I do that well. It's just, you're not feeding off of somebody like that. So like you're really counting on, for me, like I count on like the photographer, like Golden's really good about feeding your ego, you know, and Gene's really good about it too. And so is Chris, like they're all really good. But like I've shot with somebody before. I was like, this is a drain. Like this is just killing me. So yeah, I totally went on a sidetrack. Sorry, I scrolled there for a minute.
That's the story of my life. The squirrels are in good company, so you're all good. Jean, does she do is that Tyler and Ian?
Well, the who's first your... one was...
So I know what my favorite covers are.
The first one was Golden, and the last two, I think, were Jean.
With Jean, mm-hmm. Yeah. So I'm trying to remember if that's like even the first cover that I saw Dan on was April Wilson's
Somebody to Love.
Somebody to Love, which is, and then it's Somebody to Love, Somebody to Hold, and Somebody to Someone cherish. To Cherish. Yes. So it's the there's three of them. And they're always, they're really impactful.
Yeah.
Really expressive, which is what I like in a cover. And then of course, Catherine put her, when I discovered Catherine, because I'm going to bring her in now. And I'm like, oh my God, that's Dan, that cover. I know who that is.
I know that guy.
Cover, right? I love that cover. And that book was like, oh my God. Okay. There's the fangirl.
Jean does a really good job of like setting the tone sometimes. She's like, this is what I want. This is where you're at. And this is what you're feeling. I'm like, all right. I was like, I can get here. I was like, I could follow this. I was like, yes, ma'am. Whatever you want. I got you.
People who are coachable, people who take direction, people who can be taught, people who can be guided. That's
well, I feel like to be a good model, that's important. Like you have to be able to be coachable because these photographers are like, this is what I want you to do. And you have to be able to do it. And kind of get into that headspace and that, and like, it's not acting or anything, but like, you still have to get in that headspace and that mood and that zone. And if you can't, then you just don't. I've shot with somebody once. It was another female. And like, I was like, man, this is terrible. Like she was just so uncomfortable and tight and she could not like relax and get in the headspace, and it's tough. So I make it sound like it's a hard job. It's really not, but it's not easy either.
Well, everything you do has elements of comfort, out of the comfort zone. Some things are going to be more difficult than other things. I mean, there's any job worth doing isn't going to be super easy. But yeah. I think you said the best covers come when there's good chemistry, and whether the chemistry is between you and another model or you and the photographer, it's going to come through. It comes through the lens, definitely shows up. So yeah. Catherine, I know that Brennan's cover is, it's one of my favorites. The book is one of my favorites. And when you're looking as an author to choose cover models and you're looking at covers, why did you settle on Dan? How did that cover come about?
So can you hear me? I don't know if I'm muted or not.
You're good.
You're good. Okay. I have to, so this is the photo.
This was the photo.
And I had to change this photo for like rebranding, marketing, you know, like, unfortunately, it can't all be just like my artistic vision, because this was my artistic vision.
Hold it up. Let's see.
Mm-hmm. It's the most... Like,
I don't think I've seen that. Oh, you haven't.
You have it. This was released in 2018, and this photo. It like, I was like, I had like the first book written, and I was like, okay, well, there's the main guy, the main girl, and the main guy's got this best friend, but it was just like, okay. Cause you know, cause we've got to have book two, and you have to go with the best friend for book two. But he was just like this sort of shapeless guy that I was like, whatever, you know, like all of these books are based on my ex-boyfriends. I don't know.
Taylor Swift. Like, you're the two-swift of romance.
They do call me, you know, someone did say that a couple of years ago. Yeah, they're all based on like either boyfriends or hookups I had in New Orleans, because I lived and worked there, and it's just full of all kinds of sensual energy. Like it just is, you know, because you know. Basically I lived there too.
Yep.
And so
I need to go to New Orleans.
Oh, dude, honey,
you need to go to New Orleans.
Yes.
For like a month.
You and me are going to go there one day with all of this stuff.
Yes.
So this guy that this character is based on, his name is Josh. He's just a regular guy. And so like that character was just named Josh until I was scrolling through Instagram and I saw this photo, and it was like something was like, there he is. And I was like, there, what? Like, what? And so, like, I paused and I was like, wow, like, that's an incredible photo. I'm gonna, like, text this, the actual, like, high resolution photo to you, because this doesn't know justice. It's a stunning, like, the texture and depth, and it is just, like, he is young Clark Gable.
Oh, yeah,
like,
I have it bookmarked. Just, so,
it is the original. It was the most. It was the most, like, striking, and, like, I can't hide the fact that I am just an artsy fartsy, like, flowery minded creative, like, whatever, I am a crazy artistic person, and just this photo, like, that, seeing that photo was the birth of this character, and in that moment it was like the entire thing just, like, exploded.
I know, right?
Like, you know, this, It was because of this, because there's this mood in this photo. Like, yes, he's beautiful. Like, yes, you're beautiful. Like, bellissimo, you're wonderful. Like, you're so, but, like, there's something, like, deeper going on. This entire set, because Gene, you know, I love, and also, yes, like, this connected me to Gene, who I love with my whole entire heart.
Yeah, and Gene does a phenomenal job.
She's just so special to me, and, like, I've had so many long conversations with her, and I get to go through, like, so many of y'all's sets, and just one was just so, like, the text, it's just gorgeous. And it set this mood, and suddenly, like, there's this character, and he's just, like, four-dimensional, and this entire story arc that goes, like, on and on and on, and it just, like, I didn't know what to do with this series beyond, like, well, now it's time to write the best friends book, and then, you know, we're gonna throw some brothers in there, and then a brother's best, you know, like, it was just, like, formulaic until I saw this photo, and the explosion of a whole world, like, happened in this, like, millisecond moment of, like, pausing my Instagram scroll. And it was phenomenal, like, as my artsy fartsy crazy creative brain, you know, it was one of my favorite moments. And that's why I have poured so much effort into, like, revamping this thing so that it can be its best version. And it's like, I feel like it's one of my most important work. And it's just because this photo, like, a photo, a piece of art can, like, grab your soul.
Yeah. Visuals are really powerful. You know, it's funny because when you were saying that, I'm thinking back to my former teacher days. When I was teaching ninth graders how to write, which, if you've ever had to teach a ninth grader how to write, it's not fun or easy or encouraging. But what I found always worked best was visuals. And I think for anybody now, it's like, even when I've worked with adults in teaching writing, you find a visual that you connect with. And if it's a visual that has depth, it tells its own story. But
yes,
as the writer, it's your job to pull that story from the visual and put it on a page. And when you have, yes, a photo or a drawing or a painting that's really powerful, and it pulls out emotion, and it has texture, and it has tone, and it has all these beautiful elements of it, you can pull a whole book from a photo. And
yeah,
because it's just, it has all the elements right there. It has that inspirational level to it. So I love the fact that you saw a photo. That makes my teacher heart very happy, that you saw a photo and you were like, I can pull everything I need from
it.
This
was more
visual.
Like, it was more like I met this person. This was,
it's
like
powerful.
Meeting. I met this character. He suddenly had a name, like a middle name, like a whole background. I was like, oh my Lord, like this, I had never bought an exclusive photo before that one, but I was like, I don't know what I have to do or how much this is going to cost, but I have to own that. And like, if you talk to other authors about, like, how do they pick a photo, or like, how do they buy, like, a pre-made book cover? It's like, sometimes you just see a photo and you're like, that's mine. You know, like, that exists for me. Mm-hmm. And that's what it was when I saw this photo. It's what it was when I saw this other photo of you.
Yep.
Was,
that's
it's like,
new one.
I was like, that's mine too. Yep. Like, that one's mine too. this exists for me. And I was like, I don't know what I'm going to do with that. This stuff is not cheap. I'm like, I don't know what I'm going to do with this. But, and so, you know, it all just worked out the way it was, because like, I just believe in following your heart when it comes to creating art, because where else does it come from?
And this is something that we've talked about a lot, that I've talked about in the blog, that we've talked about in other podcasts, is how important a cover is. And there's a lot of people, a lot of readers who are like, oh, I don't care about covers because I read on my Kindle. And I'm like, but no, you don't understand. You found that book somehow. And quite often how you find that book is from a visual. It's because somebody put up a picture of the book that they were reading. It's because it came across on an Amazon ad or on a Facebook post or on Instagram. And covers are important. Time and time again, research shows us that covers are important. Even if you read on an e-reader, the cover is important. And every author is always striving for that perfect, ideal cover. So when you can find someone, like it, whether it's a photographer or if it's a cover model or if it's, you know, an image that you're looking for, it makes a difference when it gels with the book. You know, it makes a difference when it has the vibe that you're looking for. So, you know, Dan, you're getting in front of the camera and you're putting on whatever personality, persona, attitude the photographer is telling you to. And I'm guessing sometimes, do you ever work with photographers where they're like, we're doing a specific cover for a specific author and this is what they want?
Yes, yes.
Like, how does that usually work? Like,
they'll show like example pictures, like this is kind of what they're looking for, or something like that, or like this is what they want. Can we do this? Can we do that? Stuff like that. Can I roll back for a little bit for a
second? Yeah.
About what Catherine was talking about? So like I'll be honest with you, like I had no clue how authors picked out their things. I assumed it was like Tinder. It was like, nope. Oh, that was a maybe. We'll swipe right. Nope. And so like that to me, like that means a lot. Like I didn't realize how impactful it was and what it meant and stuff like that. Like that's fantastic to hear, because like it adds that much more meaning to just standing in front of a camera. You know, I put a lot of passion and energy into what I do, and that it is that impactful for, you know, you, Catherine. I'm sure you're not the only one. It means
oh, more. It is so, it is like, you know, more than just people can be your soulmates, y'all. Okay. Like that photo was my soulmate. I've got another photo that Gene took on my wall, and this guy is my muse and he is a soulmate, you know, like these photos, like I just, these things, I don't know. I am like a way wildly creative, crazy person, but just, I feel like it's a soul tie through mm-hmm. art.
Yep. There's
art,
a solid connection.
The soul, like there's something there, and like whatever energy you were bringing with this, you know, Clark Gable, like swoon was like exactly what this character needed to like be born. And like it fell in my Instagram feed and here we are.
You know, it wasn't just a swipe. It's an interesting,
it was a double tap and a DM. I was like, please. I bet if you go back to that original post, it's like, my comment is probably still there. Like, I don't know what I have to do, but I need to get this book. I'll mortgage my house.
the photo's important. There's a connection, and it's, from a reader perspective, to me, and I know we've had this discussion also, when you make a connection with the character, when the cover is the image of what you're reading, it makes it so much easier because, okay, yes, it's great that it's a written word and you can kind of visualize in your head how you think someone's going to look, but when the personality and the description of what you're reading gels so well with what's on the cover, you can tell that there's a connection there. It just feels more organic and it makes a connection, because there are times, I'll be honest, there are times I'm reading a book and I'm like, that is not what I thought they were going to look like. That's, you know, from the cover. And it does. It's like, if you're telling me that the hero looks like this on the cover and then it's not in the book, I kind of get a little, oh man, I wanted that. That's who I wanted. That's what I wanted to read about. That's what I wanted to see. So making that connection where you can say that the cover matches the character, that the photo has the right energy, that the photo has the right depth, that it represents what you're striving for as an author. And then when you're, like you said, Dan, when you're in front of the camera and they're giving you direction on this is what they want, this is what they're looking for, where all the pieces kind of come together, that's a complete project. I think that's really, really important when you're looking at something like that, that it looks like a complete project, not like you just were like, oh, he's hot, I'm gonna slap him on the cover, and it has nothing to do with what's inside the book.
That's what I always thought it was. I was like, oh, he's good looking good. Dude, I like that picture, let's put him on here. That's why I was like, me just, you know, being on the complete other end of it. That's what I always thought. I was like, oh, he's a decent looking dude, and I like the way he looks in this picture. Let me throw that on there.
I'm not gonna lie, there's value in that too, but that's not the be all end all as a reader of what we're looking for as an author. What were you gonna say, Julie?
I just, you know, the pictures that Catherine picked of you specifically, you know, and I've said this in the group that you have a whole day to yourself every single week for like the last 3 years.
That's
in
right.
One of my groups.
Yes, it's Tyler Tuesday.
It's Tyler Tuesday, and I pull an image from the internet. I always give you credit. I give the photographer credit, but Jean pulls out a different look with you.
Mm-hmm.
She
does.
The emotion, it's just, I see what Catherine saw in that picture.
Yep.
It's so important.
Like when I go to Jean's, when I go shoot with Jean, it's just, like she lives like way out in the woods. I've gone and stayed at her house for a couple of days, and like I just, to me, I'm just there. It's like peaceful. It's like, it's just a whole different experience. It's an experience, really. Like I've stayed at her house for a weekend, you know, twice, I think now, two or three times, and just shot, and just the way she does things, and it's just fantastic. She can draw out something different to me than other people, for sure.
That's a connection. And I think that's a unique element that exists between successful photographers, successful models, where there's a connection, where there's a comfort, there's an understanding. I even heard one photographer say when they work with certain models that it's just even eye contact just gives little subtle clues. Like you don't even have to verbalize everything, just like a tilt or moving something, and it's like, oh, okay, I get it, because there's a connection that you forge. And I think that's really cool that you do that, that she invites you out, and it creates this comfort, and it sets a scene.
It's and what's funny is like, it's like when I'm shooting with her, it's like, all right, like we're there, like it's working, it's different. And then I was just thinking about it, like when I'm shooting with Golden, it's like all I can think of is that song, "It's I'm Too Sexy with My Shirt." Like, that's how I feel like when I'm shooting with Golden. So it's just a different vibe. It's just because they're such different people.
That's, we should do that. I know, right? That's going to be the intro for this one.
But that's how I feel when I shoot with Golden. I'm like, yeah, I'm a good looking man. Like, it's just a different vibe, you know?
And I think those photos come across as different also, because I follow Golden and I follow Jean and I follow Chris, and there's a different vibe in each, which I think also gives a lot to the author to say, oh, you're not looking for this, but you like this model. Well, the author can look at someone else and say, well, I'm looking for a different vibe. I'm looking for, you know, man candy, or I'm looking for, you know, seduction, emotion, or right. Because I just pulled up this, you've got one that's okay. This is actually not, this is not going to air tomorrow. It's probably not going to air till next week because editing. But when we're recording this, you have a book cover that's coming out tomorrow, which is Masquerade by Aria Wyatt.
Okay.
And that's, let me see if I can get it to come up on here a little bit better. And that's this one.
Yes.
And again, for me, when I look at this cover, the first time she posted it, I was like, damn, because it's an emotional cover. It has a lot of depth to it. And I think that to me, I don't know. Do you know who the photographer was?
Christopher Johns.
Do you remember?
I don't remember.
We're going to have to find out. We'll ask Aria. We'll find out. But again, it has a different vibe than some of the other covers, just because what you're looking for. So I'm going back to Catherine, because now I'm going to throw it back with you with a question of, when you're looking for a cover, we know that there's the vibe. We know that with Dan, it was like, Dan is Brennan. There is that image, that emotion in that image. And you were like, this is the character. When you're looking for other covers, because I've seen all the ones that you've done so far. And when you're looking for covers, what do you go through? What's your process as an author when you're looking for the right cover?
Well, in this instance, it was that I did have these exclusive photos. I have, this will have three of Dan's and one of Aiden, who also shoots with Jean. And it was more that because the photo of Dan and the photo of Aiden were both sort of like, he's kind of outside, you know, and the other one, he's like sort of in this field, and the lighting, because I don't know, I have no idea when y'all shot any of these photos, but I feel like it might've been the same, like, cause it's probably where Jean lives when y'all do these photo shoots. Mm-hmm. It's normally in Oregon or something, right? She's in Oregon, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
And so with this one, it was that the style of the exclusive photos were all the same and already worked together. And so choosing the covers for the books that I didn't have like photos for, it was more just an aesthetic choice. Like the model had to like fit the character, but it also had to be like an outdoor setting. Like the lighting has to be just right, that like you can't, you know, the quality of the photo has to match like, you know, this like high quality exclusive photo, you know, it has to be up to par, and the lighting has to complement it the right way, in a way that you can't tweak it with Photoshop or anything like that. But so normally it's like you kind of get a vibe and a feeling, and then you have to like think how that's going to like market to your specific genre. Like when we were doing these, it was, I wanted to have like a script, like handwritten thing. And she was like, no, that's more this instead of what you're going for. And so like things like that, you'll normally like choose the first cover and then like decide, like that'll be your template. Brilliant. For all of them.
I love that. So you look for a theme, you build on that. Yes. Theme, and you continue to carry through because it's a series. So you don't want to. Yes. Jump all over the place when you're doing a series. You want to have consistency, which is really important. So working with the same photographer can help, looking for that same background. Mm-hmm. Okay, what part of the process do you love the most? What part of the process do you hate the most when you're looking for covers, when you're designing a cover?
Well, you know, there's like, I've seen like 5,000 pictures of Dan, and... You guys, like, he just makes this job really difficult.
I would imagine the hardest part would be, you know, looking through all of those photos.
I know, it's so hard, you guys. Like,
it's like me scrolling through Instagram. It's so difficult to just, you know, look at all of these amazing photos. Julie just pulled up the first three of... Oh yeah, that's the NOLA series.
Now in the Norland series, is he your only exclusive?
Him and the one that's about to come out whenever I can decide, it can decide that it wants to be finished. And I can't, it will be two more featuring Dan. I can't like say, like, I don't want to say it because it's like, you know, spoiler town. Uh-huh. Straight ahead. But Dan will be on two additional photos.
I'm covers. Here for that. All right. I'm here for. Yes. That. Did you want to turn that around on the camera?
Oh, yeah.
Just to, yeah. So that's the three so far in NOLA.
There they are.
And
there
they do. Are. They blend beautifully. I mean, it's hard. I know. Yes. It's hard to see because, you know, it's a screen on a screen. But thematically, they do look really beautiful. So what's the hardest thing for you when you're looking for covers and when you're designing a cover? What's the most difficult part of the process for you, Catherine?
Honestly, the
you're laughing because I keep saying hard.
No, I was laughing because I was gonna be like, I was about to be a smart ass and say which picture of Dan do you love the most?
Be a smart ass.
Eliminating pictures of Dan.
Dan, don't you know that I have a file folder for, you know, my character inspiration? You're on my Pinterest board. So they don't ever go away forever. They're for me. Because Jean loves me and she lets me see all of them. So.
Well, muse boards are important. And, you know, when you have somebody who's a solid muse for something, that's, I know a lot of authors that I work with, they have muse boards. And even when I'm editing, I'm like, okay, I need your muse board. I need to know what your inspiration board is. I need to know what the vibe is for this character. So when I'm reading through it and I'm like, oh, this is really out of tone, I need something that I can look back at and say, okay, this is where we're supposed to be going. Sometimes it's progression and sometimes it's static, but it's there.
On my desktop, I have the progression of photos because, like, even though this one will not be used, you can see the progression of like, this was the caricature of this character. And he, like, developed into this guy who is, like, more, he's contemplative. He's, like, there's, you know, that, like, feeling that he's having in the book that we're not going to talk about, you know, there's just this thing. And then the next two is a much more rough, like rugged. It's an intense photo. It's another one where I was like, oh my God, something horrible happened to him. And so I was like, well, I have to have it. And then.
I love that.
And you know, we won't tell anyone. No, nope. You can go ahead and show us the image. Mm-hmm. You can tell us all the spoilers.
I can't. I'll text it to him. And I'll be like, it's this photo where, like, I truly like fell in love with all of this from the depths of my heart, because I believe it is the young lady that you were talking about, Emily.
Brunette. Yeah, it's probably her.
And yeah, so
me and her. We vibe.
This photo is so beautiful that it breaks my heart. Like, you know, it is so, because, and I say that because I know what is like coming. And it is so beautiful that, like, it hurts my heart a little. But it's just, it's one of those things where, like, you know, the perfect energy and, like, dynamics were happening and something incredible happened from art that just continues to make great things happen.
We're looking at photos here. We're listening to, trust me, because Julie's like the research. She's got all the stuff. She knows where to look for all the things. I just randomly Google until something pops up and I'm like, oh, there it is, which is how I spend, you know, 3 hours. And I'm like, what the hell just happened? Oh, I went down the Google rabbit hole. Okay. But
I have looked for things. So many pictures.
I know. Yeah. So this was the one that, this was the, I think the first cover actually that I ever saw you on, which, oh, come on, phone.
That one is shot with golden.
Yep.
Yeah.
Sure was.
Yep.
Yeah.
And that's, and then when you look at the series, it really does blend, like we were talking about themes, for somebody to hold. And then what was the last one? Cherish. Right?
It's my favorite.
I like this one too. This is one of my favorites also. I think it is too.
It shows that evolution, like you were saying, where they were, emotional, like tense. She's the word girl. I am not.
Don't say my nickname.
I call her my fluffer.
The first time she said that, I was like, oh, Julie. So now we have to put word. I'm the word fluffer, because otherwise the hubster gets a little bit confused. That's the last one. Yeah. So you see the progression of them, and that's Jean. Yep. But okay.
So you can see the evolution, because Tyler, the character in that book, went from, I don't know who I am, to, you know, light and free and happy, content.
Yeah, content, but still a little intense.
Oh.
He's a really intense character. So,
I get that, what she was saying.
Exactly. Yeah, and I see that a lot with Brent, because, you know, I've read Brennan's book, I think, 3 times now, because it's my favorite in the series. Okay. You know that Luke's my favorite, but book-wise, Brennan's book is emotionally deep. So I really enjoy that. So I've been through it a couple of times, but it has that depth to it. And I see where you say you take the art, you take the picture, you pull the emotion from it, you put it into words. And then it's this pulling together of the visual and the words. And then in the reader brain, it's like, okay, it gels. So it's kind of a unique, it's a neat experience. What are you pulling up
for? Oh, I'm just
looking at more photos from Jean. Well, oh, that one. Yep.
That's good. But that's bringing a lot of emotion.
Emotion. Mm-hmm.
We need to stop because I'll get on a little tangent.
I know, the emotions. But, and it's, oh my gosh, it's 7:50. Okay, so was there anything else? I know we talked about a lot of stuff. Catherine, what else do you want us to know? People who are listening, people who are watching, what else do you want people to know about the process, your friendship and relationship with Dan as a cover model, as a friend, as an influencer out there? What do you want folks to know about the process from your side?
From my side, it's just like having the privilege of being connected to like him and his people, Jean and Zach, and like, you know, like these are amazing people. And it's a privilege because like he is a fantastic human being. And like, I am personally inspired, and it's a privilege to like, you know, like say he's one of mine, like, thank you, you know, for all of the things that you do.
I love that. Dan?
Yes, ma'am.
Any last thoughts, anything else you want to know about the relationship that you build with authors that you work with, the friendship with Catherine, how this has all come about, what it does, you know, what it means to you and all the things?
It just means a lot that I can inspire some people. Like I said, I didn't realize how much it meant to Catherine until tonight. You know, I knew that it was important, but I didn't realize how important, how impactful it was on how she wrote and what she wrote and the impact that it made. And it means a lot. So
I love that. Something new. See, we pull out all the emotions. And thank you, both of you, so much for coming on with us. This is something new we're trying with having people come on as guests. Normally it's either me rambling for 35 minutes or so, or it's me and Julie and 2 others. We call ourselves the Stalker Sisters because we do. We get on Instagram and we're like, oh, I want to learn more about that author or more about that cover model or more about that photographer. And we just kind of find all the places to follow. So having guests on has been something new and unique and fun and interesting, and getting the information out there to people about how this works. And it was a learning experience for me because there's a lot that you both talked about in the process that, I mean, you've been doing this a lot longer than I have. You probably knew a lot more of this than I did. Mm-hmm. So maybe. But thank you both so much for spending some time with us, for talking with us about what the experience is like finding that perfect cover. And I know, Dan, like I said, you've got a cover coming out. So congratulations on that new cover for Masquerade. And to come out from Catherine.
Julie. Yeah, I was going to say, you know, Catherine, I know your book is
this chair's being, noise.
I don't know, cantankerous. So do you have an estimated date of release for your next book?
I mean, it's going to be done when it's done, and I feel like it's shooting for sometime before the end of the year.
Okay.
I'll take that.
That's good. We like that.
Dan, do you have any other events or anything coming up that you want to promote? Any other books that you know of that you want to talk about?
No, I don't think so. Not off the top of my head.
Okay. Well, on that note, so if you do have events, do you normally, I think you posted when you were doing TNT, you posted that you were going to be there.
Yeah, normally I post some stuff. Okay. I'm supposed to be going to one in April, I think. And then I'll be back at TNT next year. I'm pretty sure Janine's going to make me come every year. So, darn.
How about Baltimore in 2024?
Sure.
You guys want to take me? I'll be there.
Baltimore in 2024. We have actually our first event coming up next year in March in Baltimore. I think we're looking at 2024, having some photographers and some cover models, and hopefully Catherine will be able to join us, and I'm working on getting her out there because I know it's a hike. You're coming from a long distance, but, and I know, Dan, you said you have a trip coming up to DC, trip. So that's my neck of the woods. Enjoy your time there. Enjoy the time with the kids, and we've got holidays coming up. So whatever you celebrate, if you celebrate, have a good holiday. And thank you guys so much for coming on with us tonight. Really, really, really appreciate it.
Yes, ma'am.
Thanks,
thank you guys.
Okay.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye. Good night. Bye.
So that's it for us today, everybody. Thank you again for joining us. If you're not aware, you can actually see this interview through our new YouTube channel. So we are very excited to be embarking on that adventure with video in addition to the audio for the podcast. I think we have finally figured out the audio issues going forward, so that won't happen again. There will be video available as well, and you can find all of that, how to get to the YouTube channel, how to get to all of our social media, through our DirectMe. So it's direct.me/brazenbookwormblog, BrazenBookwormBlog. It's a lot, I know. direct.me/brazenbookwormblog. You can find us on Facebook at Brazen Bookworms Unrighteous Reading Rebellion, on Instagram at Brazen Bookworm. Drop us an email, brazenbookworm@gmail.com. Let us know who you want us to talk to, who you want us to interview, what do you want us to talk about. Always looking for new things to add to the show. So if you want to leave a comment on socials, that's perfect. If not, you can go ahead and DM or send me an email. And until next time, looking forward to connecting with y'all again.